Hello, and welcome to Education Radio. This is a podcast of the Alamosa School District, and I am your host, Adriana Chapa. I am a mother, a teacher, and your neighbor. Joining me is Assistant Superintendent Dr. Luis Murillo.
Hi, Adri. I'm excited about today's episode.
Absolutely.
As always, we have a ton of things going on, and I am super excited about our guest today. I cannot wait to get there.
Excellent. Well, it was a great day at school today, so I have to tell you about it. The girls were all dressed up in their, you know, dress for success outfits, ready for the volleyball game, first one of the season, and the boys were proudly wearing their jerseys in preparation for the game that's happening as we record right now. You know, the seventh grade were nervous. They were so excited, but they were so nervous. Eighth grade football players, they were like, eh, it's a game. We got it. It was cool to join in their excitement.
The coaches were having the jitters, not the players. I remember those days.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's begin with our first segment, Happenings at Our Campuses. What do you want to share with us today?
That's some great news. Okay. We've talked about these before. We talked about them last year. Every year, the Colorado Department of Education releases what they call performance frameworks. Mm-hmm. School performance frameworks. They are to be thought of sort of a report card for schools. So okay. We know how we're doing. Every district in the state of Colorado, all 178 of them, as well as every school, 3rd through 12th,
okay,
get a performance framework. The frameworks are composed of academic achievement, academic growth, as per the CMAS test, which we've talked about our students take in April. And then for our high school, as well as science. Sorry, I forgot about that. That's okay. New this year. As well as for high school, there are some other measures having to do with graduation, matriculation, post-secondary workforce readiness. I am very excited to announce or share that our 3-5 school kept their performance rating, or they're in the green.
Excellent.
Everybody wants the green. Yes. So, and just so that our listeners understand, it goes from red to orange to yellow to green. Green is the highest rating a school can receive. And honestly, last year we jumped from the orange to the green in this school. So we bypassed the yellow. And as we know, I mean, it's one thing to get there, but we've all heard the saying that it's harder to stay there.
Right.
Because it takes continued growth, achievement, and just a lot of hard work. Now let's talk about OMS. OMS 2 years ago was in the red and what we call turnaround.
I know.
Last school year, OMS jumped 2 categories into the yellow, which is accredited with an improvement plan.
Okay.
This year, OMS stayed in the yellow, but it showed progress.
Okay, excellent. We're getting close to the green.
Yes.
Getting close.
Forward is a pace. We love progress. Our high school stayed in the green. This is their 11th consecutive year.
Excellent.
That they've had a rating of performance. They did not only stay in the green, they improved by 5 points.
Good.
So they continue to do a better and better job, and this is to be celebrated.
Yeah, and you know, I think earning each one of those points is tough. I want to ask you, what do you attribute the continued progress to?
Our students, our staff, our parents, our community. I mean, that is the simple answer. Okay. There's a lot that goes behind that.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, it's the students that take the test, it's the teachers that teach the students, and it's our parents that send them to school ready to go. And then it's our community that support us with everything else that educating a student entails.
Right. All right. So what are some areas of focus that you noticed?
Yeah, we will be doing a very deep dive.
Okay.
We've already started looking at the data, but if the area of focus is how we educate our multilingual students or those students who might be new to the country.
Yes.
We've struggled. I think that's the honest truth. We've struggled with attracting and retaining high quality staff to teach the students. We have a lot of areas of growth, but we're certainly making some strides already. We're working with the district team to ensure that we are having the resources necessary to teach our students. And we're in the process of looking into then pilot and adopt a resource from Savvis Learning to help us better educate multilingual learners.
All right. And, you know, I think as the years have gone by, we've seen a growth in these multilingual students that are coming into our district. And it's a struggle to get teachers of any kind, but right. teachers that are certified to work with these students, they have to go through extra educational program. And, you know, it's hard.
That's correct. Because it is a very specialized way of teaching students the language. So it requires right. more than knowing how to teach English. It's mm-hmm. knowing how to teach English to a non-English speaker. But
right.
anyway, we continue to move forward and strive okay. to get better and better.
All right. Well, Luis, thanks for that update. All right. Well, let's move on to our favorite segment, Celebrate. And we have a special guest with us today.
Very special guest. Okay. Today we have with us a person who's been 19 years in the educational field. Six of those have been dedicated to our students, our staff, and our family. Most recently, this person went from being an assistant principal to now leading Ortega Middle School. I want to welcome Nate Gonzalez.
Hello, Nate, and welcome to Education Radio. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me. I'm from Colorado Springs. I've been in education, like Luis said, for 19 years, and I just always loved kids and wanted to be in education, and I felt when I started my career that I wanted to be an admin. I just had really good leaders when I was young uh-huh. in education, so I always thought that that's the route I wanted to go, and so I just made that path and did what I had to do to get in this position.
All right. Well, thanks for sharing that. So tell us, we know you work at OMS, but mm-hmm. tell us what your responsibilities are as a principal.
Oh, man. Well, I don't think this podcast is long enough to go through all my responsibilities. But really, it's supporting the teachers, all of my staff, trying to support them in whatever they need and finding ways that we can help our kids succeed. So, you know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but there's a lot to that. And so that's just what I do. I'm just trying to help everybody. I want to make a good atmosphere and just implement different things and strategies to help us succeed.
Yeah. And, you know, working with you yeah. at OMS, you know, that was something that I knew that you felt strongly about. And certainly we feel that, and we feel that support. So I just want to say
thank you. No, thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. We're going to get to know more about you.
All right.
Another one of the big jobs of a principal that Nate has already done is to really set the vision for the school, to work with the staff, to
yes.
listen and to set a clear vision and an identity as to who OMS is. And I know right. he's already done that and conveyed that. All right. You talked about we would need a longer podcast. So let's get it into just a little bit of your day-to-day life. What's that look like for a principal?
Well, to start off, when I came into this position, I have all these ideas, and there are just too many ideas to really focus on. So I was actually in my office one day, and I was listening to music from CCR, you know, that was just playing out, happened to be playing. And it kind of, I was trying to find a way to put everything into one, like just something to express myself and keep me on track. And so I use CCR. So really it's climate, coaching, and results. So everything I do kind of just falls around that. If I can build a good climate with my staff mm-hmm. and staff builds a good climate with kids, I feel like that helps in many situations. And then my coaching, you know, I have my admin team and staff can coach each other. So I figure if we have a good climate, we're always coaching our staff is coaching the kids, we'll get the results we're looking for. So that's kind of my framework that I follow to keep it minimalized, because everything
right.
you know, everything falls under climate. There's 100 things,
sure,
a bunch of things under coaching. So that just kind of keeps me focused. And I just start off my day, and how can I help people? I try to say hello to everybody. I check on my teachers, and I just get feedback constantly through the day. And it's good because I feel like the teachers trust me, because they're always coming in. They're asking me, you know, here's some ideas. How can you help me here? And they even tell me, sorry if I'm bothering you too much. And I'm like, you're not. Like, I need to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I need to know the pulse of my school. And I really lean on my veteran teachers like yourself, you know, for ideas. They come to me, and I just want to use my teachers the best I can. You know, not just teaching math, not just teaching science, but what can you bring to the table as far as our environment and different ideas.
Right. And, you know, I've been in education for many years. And so, you know, it was actually at OMS mm-hmm. when we really focused on helping each other out. And there was all kinds of coaching happening
yeah.
within teachers. And I just feel like, you know, I've been in this business for so long, but there's new stuff to be learned all the time. Yeah. And I think it helps keep the profession fresh in a way.
Yeah.
And to try to keep as up to date as we can be.
Right.
You know, with all of the changes that are always around
there's
us.
There's a lot of changes.
Yeah.
And I just want to make sure, you know, we have to be lifetime learners as educators.
Absolutely, yes.
You know, we never know everything. We're always going to see something different with kids in our community. It always changes. And, you know, there's always something new. Like, you know, there's always, oh, try this. This worked here. Try this. And I think we just have to be very cognizant of what we choose to do.
Right.
And I would rather do, you know, 10 things really well than bring in some other stuff that just loses focus on what our goal
sure.
is. So,
sure.
But you're right. There's always new stuff in education.
So you stay pretty busy as your day-to-day. You just stay busy all day long.
I just stay busy all day long. I try to get out of my office when I can. And, yeah, it's good, though. I love being busy.
And how many hours after school do you spend thinking about the job?
Yeah, so I spend about an hour after school. I leave around 5, and then I do spend a couple, 2 to 3 hours on the weekends, you know, whether it's Friday or Sunday, just putting in work, and I just want to be prepared and look ahead and make sure I'm communicating with my staff what it needs to be done. So it's a lot of work, but I signed up for it, and I love it. I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way.
You know, you were an assistant principal and an athletic director at our campus for several years. Mm-hmm. And now you are the principal.
Yeah.
So tell us what the major difference is between these two positions.
I think the biggest difference is dealing with the adults more. You know, when I was an AP, I'm handling all the problems and just needs of the children. And discipline-wise, and then the sports takes up a lot of time. But what I've noticed now, it's more like, how am I going to help the adults succeed? You know,
okay.
And you know, so it kind of switched there. And of course, I still help the kids. You know, I'm all about the kids. But now my focus is more like, what can I give the staff to be successful with the kids? So when I'm on the weekends, I'm thinking, what can we implement? And I don't want to overload the staff because, you know, giving them too much,
right?
You know,
right.
might steer them the wrong way. So I think it's a good balance. But, yeah, I think the biggest part is I deal with more with adults now.
Yeah. And, you know, we have a lot of new teachers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we all get older and start retiring, that will continue. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my belief is that we really need to focus on new teachers and help them
for sure
to be successful. And I like hearing that that's your focus.
Yeah, I always pop in on them. I check on them, all of our new teachers, every day almost, you know, throughout the week.
Excellent.
Seeing what is needed. And, yeah, it's been really good. And they've been sharing with me stuff that they feel like they couldn't share with me at the beginning of the year if they're new.
Right.
But then I kind of break that barrier. And I feel like I have a trust of a lot of the teachers. And they come to me when they need it. So.
Yeah, and I bet all of you remember this, your first year of teaching. You're fresh out of college, right?
Yeah.
And you think, okay, I got this. I've got my plans. I'm ready to go. And that after that first day, you go, oh, my goodness, I didn't know.
I remember that. Yeah, you always get that. It's around October. You're like, what did I get myself into? You know, and you just want to make it through.
Right, but and after that first week, it's like, okay, I've got to rethink some things.
Yeah, for sure.
And so that support is super, super important.
Yes, it is.
Excellent.
My first day also happened to be at OMS, so I do remember that. Yeah. All right, Nate. So what excites you about Ortega Middle School?
Oh, man. A lot. I love the kids. I love the staff. And it excites me just to be moving forward and come up with new ideas.
Yeah.
It excites me when, you know, teachers say, thank you for this, or students, thank you. I mean, just everything about the position. I've been waiting to do this my whole career. So I'm excited every day, even on the hard days, I'm excited. You know, we always have hard days as a teacher and as an admin. And really, I don't take it home with me. I just leave it as it is, find a solution if there's a problem,
right?
Figure it out and come back to work and start over. So I'm just always excited with everything. I love the sports. I'm going to go watch games after this. You know, like I'm not the AD anymore, but I still want to go to the games, and I'm going to support Mr. Martinez, our new athletic director, and whatever
Excellent.
He needs.
Yeah.
So no, I'm excited about everything. I love the building, and I'm just excited.
All right. Well, the opposite of that is, what keeps you up at night?
Oh, man. It's the same thing that's kept me up all night, you know, throughout my whole career. And no matter what I do, I always just want to be the best at what I can do. So whether that was a teacher or that was athletic director, when I was in the military, whatever it is, I just want to succeed. And right. And I don't do it for like the glory or recognition. I just do it for myself. Like when I came in as assistant principal and athletic director, my goal was to be better than the previous assistant principal and athletic director. Not like I'm trying to up anybody or make them feel like they didn't do a good job. But my goal is to always do better than what was before me. Yeah. Or what's the point of jumping in that position? So,
or you go forward as a
So, you know, that kind of stuff keeps me up at night. Am I doing the right thing? You know, I'm only in this position for a month now. So it's like, oh my God, do are people like feeling what I'm trying to give them? Or like, am I doing a bad job? Yeah. And you really don't know sometimes. Yeah. You know, you go through your week like, gosh, how was this week? But then every once in a while, a teacher comes in. I appreciate you. We notice you. You're doing a great job. And that just kind of relieves the stress right there.
There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So tell me what your vision is for our campus.
My vision is just I want a good, positive climate. I want teachers to be happy because if we have happy teachers, we have happy kids.
That's right.
You know, so my goal is to make teachers want to stay, not want to leave. I want teachers to feel like I'm there to give them what they need resources-wise. And then I want that to trickle down to the kids. So I just, you know, I'm all about positivity. Uh-huh. You know, you rarely see me upset in the building.
That's right.
You know, and if I don't have a smile on my face, people are like, oh my gosh, what's wrong with you? Like nothing. I was just thinking like nothing's wrong with
me.
Right. But I try to just always be positive and happy. And when I get stressed out, I just leave my office, go for a little dance in the hallway. And that's how we do it.
Yeah, you know? Sometimes you put the music on after school and it's like, all right, let's dance.
Yeah, I've been putting music on Thursdays after school just to give someone a break and dance a little bit. And I had a little dedication to Mr. Kechter the other day. Uh-huh. He laughed at that. So, you know, it's just about the climate.
Yeah.
And I figure if we produce a good climate, everything else will fall in place.
That's right. I'm going to go back to what you said earlier in a previous question, is that, you know, you talk about what Luis asked you, what keeps you up at night? Mm-hmm. And so I'm not sure that parents know this, but as educators, we stay up at home worrying about a particular student, about a group of students, about how we're going to do this. Yeah. And when those kids are in our charge, we take it seriously.
Yes.
And at 4 o'clock, it doesn't shut down.
No, it doesn't.
We keep, you know, that thought. I mean, right now, I'm a little nervous for the seventh graders who are so nervous, but I want it to be a good experience for them.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. There's always something in it. And every teacher has that. You know, I come to work on Monday and teachers will come to me. I was thinking all weekend about this kid and what we can do.
Yes.
I've been thinking about this, what we can do. And that's what makes me happy is I'm not the only one losing sleep.
Right.
We all lose sleep because we all want to be the best we can be. There's not one person in our building that doesn't want to be the best teacher they can be.
That's right.
You know, sometimes they just need guidance or different resources to get there, but we all can get there.
There are lots of school districts, and I'm sure other school districts would want Anette Gonzalez leading their school in whichever way.
Yeah.
You choose to lead in Alamosa School District.
Yeah.
Tell us why.
Well, we came down here 6 years ago. Like I said, I'm from Colorado Springs, but I've taught in two different states, just different areas, a couple different schools in the valley. And my goal was always just to get to Alamosa. It just seemed like the district was a little bigger. It wasn't too big, like from the cities where I'm at, where I'm from. And so when we came down here, I came as an MTSS coordinator 6 years ago, and it just seemed to work out. I liked the staff. I liked who I was working with. I liked the kids. I liked the town. It's not too big. And I just felt like my kids could succeed here. So when I stepped into that role, it went really well. And then, of course, I got bumped up to dean of students and just led me to here. But I haven't wanted to leave. Like, I just feel good here. I feel like I put in a lot of good hard work for the 6 years I've been here. No matter what role I've played, I've always done above and beyond. You know, our previous superintendent, Marcia Cody, always had me do extra stuff because she knew I was passionate about it. So I was always on like a committee. I was helping with policies. And I just felt like if I work really hard now, it's going to pay off. And hopefully I can succeed here. And it's worked out that way. So I'm just happy to be here. It's a good community. I like the kids, the families. I like how you guys are all close knit. It's really cool to see like, oh, I taught that kid's parents, you know, like, you know, and you see that a lot. And like, I'm just not used to that from the city. You're just not really used to that. So it's just a different environment than what I grew up in. And I like it a lot.
Yeah. I want to share this about you because you're not going to bring it up, but you consciously chose to get as much experience as you could in different areas because you knew the path you wanted to take to be an administrator.
Right.
And you made sure that by the time you got there,
I was ready.
You
for
had
it.
Certain experiences.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I started out as a PE teacher. And I got my admin license, and I just wasn't getting serious. People weren't taking me serious because I wasn't a classroom teacher. I didn't do CMAS and that kind of stuff. So I took that as a challenge, and I left the nice, cozy PE teacher life of wearing sweatsuits and playing basketball, and I jumped in the classroom. I did that at elementary level and the high school level, and I just continued to move forward. And that's what got me, you know, and I'm glad I did that. You know, I always tell my kids, get uncomfortable. If you're comfortable, then you need to change something. I don't like to be comfortable. I don't like to be like, oh, I'm where I'm at. I'm not ever where I'm at. I always want to push myself to the different limit. And so I love being uncomfortable. And when I jumped in that third grade class for the first time, I tell you what, I was nervous. I was like, what am I doing here? But it was good. It's all good stuff. And actually, when Rob Alejo hired me for MTSS, he's like, do you want this position? And I was like, I don't even know what it is, Rob. He's like, but I'll do it. You know, like get me there. I knew I wanted to be here, and I came, and I just moved up. And, you know, we had that professional development this last week, and one of our keynote speakers said, you know, someone is like rooting for you. You know, someone's going to tap you on the back and motivate you. Yeah. And one of our psychologists, Denise, worked for the elementary schools. And I was still in MTSS, and just out of nowhere, she's like, you know what, Nate? You're passionate, and you're going to move up faster. And I just kind of hold that to me, and I'm like, okay. You know, and I saw her, you know, like a year or two ago when I got the AP, and she's like, I told you, you're going to move up. And, you know, it's just that kind of motivation and positivity that just keeps me moving forward and knowing I'm doing the right thing. Yeah.
Okay. So what changes would you like to see at OMS?
Just a couple system changes. You know, I'm really into the reteach thing, so we're trying to figure out different ways to reteach, so we have more Friday schools a month. We're going to, me and Ms. Parker are talking about a math academy.
Cool.
Like once a month after school to focus on kids. So really it's just changing a couple systems, increasing achievement, and increasing positivity. You know, like I said, I want people to be happy. I want a nice climate. I want parents to walk to that door and feel like they can talk to anybody and move around if they have to. And I want kids to feel safe and supported there too. So my goal is just really focus on that climate. And if I get these other systems in place, the achievement will follow. And I just want to coach teachers to be their best. You know, it's up to admin and coworkers to help lead these young teachers to get to their optimism.
Right.
You know, so that's my goal.
Okay. Well, Nate, thank you very much for joining us today and just giving us your vision of OMS and the things you'd like to accomplish. We appreciate all the information, and we wish you the very best.
Great, thank you.
As the new leader of Ortega Middle School.
Yeah, let's go, me Moose. We've got a long year, but I'm motivated. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you guys a lot.
Well, let's move on to our last segment, upcoming events.
I'm already talking about parent conferences.
They're
just around the corner.
Coming up.
Yes, the 23rd and 26th elementary will be hosting their parent-teacher conferences. Secondary schools will be on the 30th and the 2nd of October.
So both Ortega and the high school the same night.
Okay. As well as online.
Okay. All right. Well, both the high school and middle schools have had auditions for their upcoming musicals. The high school's putting on Little Mermaid with performances in November, and Anastasia at Ortega Middle School with performances in December. So put that on your calendar. Those are both great musicals to bring your children to parents. Ortega volleyball and football and cross-country competitions continue all of September, so take in a game for some family fun. And that does it for today's episode of Education Radio. Parents and neighbors, thank you for joining us. Education Radio is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on our district page. Remember, parents, that a good education is key to your child's success and provides your child with a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District. Students today, leaders tomorrow.